Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. How many of you actually opened up your pew Bible to page 194? One, I made a promise to myself. I want us to either bring a Bible from home, one that you're comfortable with reading, or one that you love reading, a study Bible, anything. But let us, when the Word is read, it's the Word of God. I mean, some people think, oh, it's just the Word that, you know, these old people put together, you know, years and years ago. And if you got it on a electronic device, that's cool too. Just turn the ringer off. But why do I say that? Five short verses. And Paul is anything but short in his explanations. First and foremost, from Corinthians on, what have we seen and heard from Paul? He said, I preach one thing. That is Jesus Christ. And him crucified. Why? His crucifixion ensures and pays for our salvation. That's why Paul preaches again and again and again about how our belief, our faith, our trust and hope is based on someone who was willing to give his very life for you and for me. Not because God set him down here and made him do it. He had countless opportunities to go the other way. He said again and again, let this cup not pass. If there be any other way, but thy will, not my will, be done. Five verses. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. First one, 15. Be careful then how you live. And what's the next piece? Not as unwise people, but as wise people. Well, that causes you to say, well, what exactly is wisdom? Now, because we're not reading, we did communion this week, we didn't have the lectionary, and the Old Testament reading would have been from 2 Kings, and it is about Solomon. One who was called one of the wisest of all kings. Where do you think he got his wisdom? And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you. No one like you shall arise. I give you also what you have not asked for, both riches and honor all your life. That's wisdom. Micah 6 tells us what? To know justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Those are things that we're supposed to do. And it's an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of discernment. He says, don't be foolish. So we're supposed to be wise, not unwise. And we're not supposed to be foolish. But what? Verse 17, understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. We got any rocket scientists in here? Any wannabe rocket scientists? Okay.
Perfect timing.
It's okay. It happens in the best of churches and it happens to the best of people. Don't worry about it. It hasn't happened to me yet because I don't bring my phone in here. That's the only reason, believe me. Do you know what the will of God is? Homework. Write down in your bulletin. John chapter 6. Jesus says, I come not to do my will, but the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that none given to me will be lost, but they will all be saved. Doing the will of God, you have to understand what the will of God is. And how do we understand what the will of God is? We need to read it. But where are we going to find it? I think it's called a Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth. Basic instruction for every second and every moment of your life. Wisdom? Get the book. Read it. And when you're reading, ask questions. God's okay with questions. He's got the answers. They may not be the answers you want. It may not be in the time that you want them, but He's got an answer for you. And the first thing is He starts with one thing first and foremost. He loves you. Not because you loved Him or chose Him. He loves you first. That's why He chose you. You ever been in a schoolyard and it's who's going to pick who to be on their team? You know? I mean, okay. Everybody's looking at Sydney and Sierra. Come on, guys. We did that when we were growing up, too. And what did you want to be? You wanted to be on the team that people picked first, not the ones they picked last, because they didn't have any other options. So, you know, we don't want to pick Tommy. He can't even kick ball. Or we don't want Johnny because he's got glasses on. He can't see to hit the ball. Or don't get Sally. She'll try to analyze everything and figure out what's going on. God chose you. Not because you were the best. Not because you were the brightest. Not because you're the best looking. Not because you're the tallest, not because you're the shortest, not because you're the thinnest, not because you're the fattest, not because you had the best clothes, not because you had the best Hawaiian shirt. Why did He choose you? Why? I'm sorry? He loves who? Yes. He loves us. How do we know He loves us? The Bible, there we go. We're going back. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that. No, how do we know that? How do we know that? Yes, but I'll tell you what. When you look in the face of a 2-year-old who's just gotten one or two gifts, or you're blessed showing up and they just come and they just have the most. They're almost screaming or screaming because they're seeing you. Why? Why? Because they love you. Oh, because we bring them presents. No, they love us. God loves you exponentially more. It's unbelievable how much more He loves you than a child that just looks at you with that loving look and it just makes your heart melt. I mean, that's truly love. But you know what? Jesus loves you. God loves you. And the Holy Spirit loves you so much more. It's inexpressible. But we celebrate today. We're going to share today communion. Scripture tells us and theology teaches us that that bread and that wine are God's gift to us so that we might remember that His body is given, His blood is shed And that we do that together as a community, as brothers and sisters. And the other thing is, none of us is better at that rail than anybody else. I don't care what your background is, where you've been, how many sins you've committed, how many times you've said, "Lord, forgive me one more time." I think there's a couple of songs about that. But each and every one of us has been down that road. Each and every one of us has been in that position. 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. As you sing psalms and hymns with spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I add that as number three. Number one was be wise people. Why? Because people are watching you and you need to give a good representation for other people who don't know Christians, and the only Bible they're going to see or open is you and how you act. Understanding what the will of God is you've got to get in the Word and find out what His will is, and then listen to Him when that little voice says, "Don't do that." That person needs help. The third one is not so much imbibing in alcoholic beverages, but to, how many of you know, what do we call hard liquor? Spirits? Paul is saying, don't get hooked on that spirit, get hooked on this spirit. Don't try to strive to get that spirit or be filled with that spirit, but be filled with this spirit. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. What does the sign out there say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just as a little gentle reminder, but why? Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is nothing you can't do. You just found out you got cancer. You can manage it. None of us is getting out of this mortal life alive. We're all going to decay. We're all going to get old. We're all going to age. And we're all going to know people who we lose, who we love, to cancer, heart disease, car accidents, drug overdoses, the list goes on. But if we have the Holy Spirit, we have a hope of getting through. If we have the Holy Spirit, you're bound to have a friend who's got the Holy Spirit too. Where two or three gather in His name, the Holy Spirit is there. And that's a support group that can get you through anything. And as you sing those hymns and spiritual songs, make melody to the Lord. Where? In your heart. Last night at the casual service, someone was talking about someone who can't carry a tune. I'm not going to say who it was, and it wasn't Betty. It wasn't Betty. It was her son, Jimmy. But now, hear this one out, because it's the most important part of it. Even if you can't carry a note, even if you're tone deaf, even if you have no sense of timing, I know this is not very nice, Becky, but what does Psalm 100 say? What does Psalm 100 say? It says, raise a joyful what? What? Raise a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's the heart that He hears. And the tenor of that note is always perfect pitch. Why? Because He loves you and He wants to hear you. And when it's coming straight from the heart, that's your core. That's what He wants. He doesn't want to hear you sing what someone else wants to hear you sing. He loves you more than anybody else, and He wants to hear you sing from your heart out of joy. And I don't think Becky's going to keep anybody from singing in the choir, even if you can't carry a tune. I didn't clear that with Becky before I said it. I'll get back in my box. Giving thanks to God all the time. Five verses. I mean, there's a lesson that we can each and every one of us walk away with and hold true to. It's just short. It's Ephesians. Ephesians is such a short book, but it has great messages. Do wisely. Find the will of God. Understand the will of God, but you got to find it first and then seek to understand it. And then sing and make melody to the Lord from your heart. And all of that because why? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, He's going to take you places you never dreamed of. Wow. Shalom.